So all those people out there watching me, expecting me to be fake and say what you want me and me say what you want to hear, I am not that fucking guy. I could give two fucking shits. I could give a fuck about a Logan Paul podcast. I could give a fuck about a fucking super producer. I could give a fuck about that. I'm actually more about, you know, the underdogs. I believe in the underdogs because I am an underdog. I'm always an underdog. And you know what? If they always put us in the position to be an underdog, we're always going to exceed their expectations.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Matt Corman Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Whether you're on audio version or you're on YouTube, just let everybody know here. Did just recently start up the YouTube channel. So if you want to see what's going on in this conversation right now, make sure you check out on YouTube. But today, I'm sure you know by the title, we have a legend in the music scene for many different reasons. I probably 100 million records sold by now. I'm going to let you tell me how many that is. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Aaron Carter. Aaron, how you doing today, man?
What's up, brother? I'm getting closer to 100. About like 75.
75, yeah. Not a big deal or anything.
75 million like records sold. I mean, I've been to every country so many times. I've been through 3 passports. So, and I basically just grew up in like a different time zone every 2 days, bro. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to like talk to you about. So obvious, you know, I'm a musician and, you know, I've opened for you on a couple different shows on your tour stops. And I've always admired, you know, how you approach everything from the business aspect of things. And, you know, I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit about how the music industry has kind of changed and stuff like that. But before I get into that, I want to get on the hot topic here and talk about what's going on with the boxing career going on, man. You just got off with, you know, another interview. Tell me a little bit of what brought you coming from being a musician and being an entrepreneur. Then you're like, you know what? Fuck it, man. It's time to box some people.
You know what? I'm a very multifaceted person. So I like to do things that people wouldn't necessarily think that I would do. Dancing with the Stars happens to be one of those things. Doing Broadway, also another one of those things. Twice I've done Broadway. I did Seussical the Musical in Times Square, and then I did The Fantastics. And it was crazy because the two Broadway experiences I had were completely different from each other. So when I was doing Seussical the Musical, like the Horton Hears a Who, it was the play for Horton Hears a Who, it was a huge cast, it was a big Broadway production. Then years go by, you know, I was like 15, and then I'm like 20, let's say 26, 27. That's when I got the audition for The Fantastics. Now, the reason why I wanted to do that was because come 26, 27, people weren't really looking at me like somebody that would, you know, really show up to concerts or, you know, be there. And I was like, you know, almost like I had like this tardiness, you know? So doing the Broadway production, off-Broadway production rather, of The Fantastics, I think it helped with my credibility as somebody who could show up, be the star of the show, you know, do 8 shows a week, never miss a show, and continuously progressing and working on myself to where I had become a real classical singer. Because I came into that show and I was singing the songs like kind of poppy, you know, and that's not what they wanted. And the other people that were working with me were looking at me like, what's this kid doing here? You know, like, we're all like super professional. We've been training our whole lives. Mm. And then I come in and it really kind of put things into perspective for me. And to really go back to those grassroots of, okay, they don't want me sounding the way I do. So how do I sound different? What do I do to change, to acclimate myself to this environment, to where I'm respected? And, you know, it took about 4, 5, 6 months being in the show. And the musical director came up to me and said, hey, man, if you smoke cigarettes, you need to stop because, like, your veins are popping out of your face and your neck and you look really ugly on stage. He's like, if you don't quit, we're going to fire you. Okay. So it got really, really serious really quick. I mean, the first couple of months, they come to let me do my thing. And then they're like, all right, Aaron, you're capable of more than this. So we want to see you do more. We want to see you, instead of singing the songs like, try to remember the kind of September Try to remember the kind of September when life was slow. So it's like a whole different classical, different teaching. It really is. You know, you heard it. Like, I just gave you a perfect example. Like, no, that's
for sure. And that's one thing when, you like, you know, we had those shows and you're performing at, like, I remember at Toad's Place. I think people don't understand this about you. Some crazy shit. So I was there with my team and my boys who, like, you know, they've only seen a couple shows in their life. One big factor that you brought to the stage that really made me change up my game, honestly, going forward for the shows that I was doing, I was like, dude, this guy's playing his keyboard live. He's out there doing the beats. Everything is done by him. Like, a lot of people, like, half the time people just put on an MP3 and just run that shit and just do karaoke night for their concerts. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I mean, I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that kind of thing. And I feel like just being more hands-on, it really just solidifies you as an artist. You can't call yourself an artist. No offense to, like, you know, Britney and people like that, but those aren't artists. You know, they're not producing their songs. They're not writing their material. They're using the biggest, baddest producers in the world, like Max Martin's, and, you know, and having, you know, Andre and all these people write their tunes. That wasn't the case with me. You know, I found a really good team with Melanie Fontana and Michelle Lindgren, and we became like this unit, and he was a co-producer with me, and it's her husband now, and that's, you know, that's pretty much how it was. It's just
so,
very
so you've always written your own music?
No, I have not. No, the first, you know, the first 3-4 albums, I didn't touch any. I didn't do any of it. So really? Yeah, I didn't do any of that. So once I got the chance to really be like hands on and doing it myself, I mean, I really just gave it my all, you know. And I figured, you know, coming back into the industry, that would be the best way to be respected, you know. And Facts. You know, we got like hundreds of millions of streams with the new album, and it's just crazy, you know. And I don't think a lot of people expected that. You know, you look at my Instagram, but then I'll tell you, I'll be like, well, record sales and tour, like concert tickets and Instagram followers are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because somebody could have 4 million followers on Instagram, but that's how many people know them.
Facts.
I can have 500,000, but 500 to a billion people know who I am.
Absolutely. And you also came from a time where industry was different, right? Like, you know, people talk about putting numbers don't lie and putting, you know, tickets, like actually selling tickets. If I'm not mistaken, you came from a time of fucking going up to a mall and having thousands of people pulling up, right? And so that's why it's different for you now, where it's like, yeah, like you could have 500,000 on Instagram, but like 500,000 fuck with you. Because that's another thing too. There's a lot of people who have like followers, but like, they have no streams or no one's listening to the music because they're there for other reasons, right? Like everyone that follows you.
I've seen it, right?
Yeah. They're there for Aaron Carter, which is pretty crazy. Like, what do you think it's like now, like building a fan base now, and how has it changed for you in terms of like, you know, coming from, you've been in the game for a minute, man. Like, you know what I mean? So what's so different?
Well, it's funny that you say the malls, like that was almost the epitome of like Instagram.
Yeah.
It was a mall. No, for real. It was like in real life, I would go to these malls and do these huge signings, and it'd be like 7,000-8,000 people that would come there. And it was just strictly my job just to sign. Hi, I love you. Goodbye. 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 You know,
that's
like
exhausting.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of times a day. Like that was equivalent. Like, so the amount of people that showed up, that's kind of like what likes and comments and like people equate that to.
Weird take I'm taking from that. Like, if social media was around back then, how do you think it would have played a role?
Oh man.
Like, who were the top guys? Like, it was you.
And then, like 50 million followers. You know?
Right. Like, it was like, who else was like a super popular, like, I mean, like, of course, there's your older brother, but in your realm, man, like who else was the young kid that was that popular at that time?
I mean, there was nobody that could touch what I did. I mean, I broke Michael Jackson's Guinness Book of World Records for being the youngest male solo artist to have 4 singles in the top 10 Billboard charts at the same time. So I beat Michael Jackson's record. So I, you know, I don't know. I'm waiting. So you know, it was crazy because I did my own thing, made my own lane. And then I see Justin Bieber come out and I'm like, okay, this kid reminds me of me. Like, he reminds me of me, but he's actually a lot better than me when I was that age. I mean, he was an incredibly technical singer, you know, at the age of like 12, 13, doing his YouTube things. And I was rapping songs at that time.
Like, you were a rapper. That's something I noticed too. Like, you were rapping before you even singing, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a completely different thing. And it's just awesome how you see evolution, you know? I mean, that's a perfect example of how the industry has evolved. Is you see from Michael Jackson to Aaron Carter to Justin Bieber to who's next?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's where I'm just like looking, I'm like, okay, who's going to be the next soul artist to come out? It's not an easy thing to do. And I'm sure Justin can completely relate, but it's not an easy thing having the weight of everything on you as a solo artist. You know, my brother being in the Backstreet Boys, he's got four other guys to rely on.
That's a good point.
You know, he does his parts, they do their parts, they're on stage together. I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. I got to do the whole songs. I got to hold my own. So it's a different kind of thing, you know?
You're like the OG. Like the OG solo artist, like out of that, like there was like a boy band movement. You're like the OG one. And it's funny you mentioned that.
That's yeah. Crazy.
And it's funny you mentioned about Justin, because I saw him talking in one of his like interviews on YouTube and was talking about Billie Eilish. And similar to exactly what you were just saying, he was just like, I hope she, you know, is okay with all the pressure she's about to receive because she was getting so popular. This was like last year or so. And it's just interesting hearing you say, because it's just, it must be that prominent, you know? Did you feel a lot of pressure like throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the first quarter, I guess you could say, my career, the first 4 years, 5 years, it was just a lot of people just telling me what I need to say, how I need to answer things. And I was very robotic, you know, I was kind of like a puppet. And as a little kid, in interviews, it was funny because I got to the point, though, where I was just like, I don't want to listen to what anyone else is telling me to say. Because when it was me and the interviewer on there, it was just me and the interviewer. I realized I couldn't be interrupted by my parents or by managers or anyone like that. So I would talk about what I wanted to talk about. And sometimes they'd be like, what are you doing? I don't know. I was just...
Well, you were a kid, bored. Man.
I would get bored with these interviews. Like, I would get bored with them and I would just start making stuff up, making shit up. Like, yeah, I caught a great white shark.
Really?
8-year-old kid. They're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, it was 25 feet.
That's gnarly. Dude, what was it like? So you were 8 years old and like famous as fuck, right? You were around 8 years old, 10 years old. Bro, I grew up, I mean, it's so crazy. I don't know if you ever think of this, but you really have lived a life that majority of the world has never, ever experienced a little bit of, right? Like, I've never been famous, right? Like, I got my little platform.
Oh, that awesome. Awesome.
Whatever, just chill, who cares? But dude, can you talk to me a little bit about, I'm just so interested, like I just remember like being like a popular kid in my school was cool. I couldn't imagine having the world know who I was at 10 years old and expect me to like generate revenue for the family. Like, I don't even know what the financials were, just like shit like that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, starting off so young, you know, there was the first year, 2 years of, you know, like as a little kid, like you would want to like impress people, you know, do cartwheels and all that kind of stuff. And
of course.
I can climb this tree and I can do this. Look at my video games. And so that was basically my way of doing that. And like little like showboating, kind of like little ham, like for the camera, showing off, whatever have you. And then like, I remember just going through that and that being the main thing that made me want to do what I did was to impress people. Like I didn't know about the money. I didn't know about, you know, the other adulting stuff. And when I started to get like 11 and 12, I was advancing in school and doing homeschool and I was taking summers off. So I really started to realize at like 11 and 12 that I'm like the head of the house.
Dude, that's so much pressure right there.
That's weird. Very, very weird, very strange. And imagine, you know, being in like my dad's shoes, seeing like your little boy, your baby boy growing up, and then him getting a little too big for his britches. Like, my dad would be like, "What's up, Mr. Hollywood?" And if I, you know, he would just do little digs at me.
A couple jabs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because he didn't want me to be, you know, egotistical or a narcissist or, you know, everything revolves around me. He wanted me to be a normal kid and have, you know, grounding, if that makes sense. So yeah. My dad, I give all the props to my late father for that, you know, for keeping me grounded. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's not an easy task to have as a father, for sure. I mean, I couldn't imagine.
Because your own son, like, kind of becomes your predecessor, you know? Like,
absolutely.
You know, and that's got to be such a weird thing. I could never, I mean, I wish my dad was alive so I could ask him, hey, how did that feel? Like,
yeah.
You know? But what was that like, having me, like, as your son, and you knowing, like, you had to, like, dial me down a couple notches, because like I was starting to realize that my mom and dad were my managers and they basically worked for me.
Wow. And they also, now I'm curious, at the time too, this was at the same time Nick was already very popular with the Backstreet Boys. Is that the same timeline? So they got like two kids, and you also had like multiple members of your family, like multiple siblings, right? I mean, that's just like a crazy lifestyle. Was anybody before them, like, was your parents like a poppin' singer that I don't know about? Like, why did they have two kids that just like took over the world?
I mean, who knows? It's got to start somewhere though, right? You know, so.
Yeah, that's a good point to look at it.
Yeah, I start to everything. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of it, because the only thing I knew was that my great-grandfather was a piano player and he played by ear like me. So that's pretty much all I really knew was that he was he played by ear and piano and he played banjo.
Wow, he played the banjo? Wow, interesting.
I have a crazy affinity for banjos and bluegrass music.
Can you play it?
No, I can't. But I love bluegrass music. Like, a lot of the R&B and soul that you hear today comes from bluegrass.
No shit.
Yeah, if you really go back and you listen, you'll hear those harmonies and everything. It's, trust me, it's very eye-opening for people.
I'll check it out.
R&B and urban people, they really need to check out. They really need to check that out.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of like, I mean, I knew you grew up in Florida, right? That's where you were originally grew up? Yeah, probably a little Southern in you right there with the bluegrass music too.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up in, all my family was from upstate New York though. So in like the tri-state area.
No shit.
Yeah, and then my parents moved down, and that's when they had me and my twin sister, and we were in Florida then. So,
no shit. Yeah, you got a big family. I mean, man, like, I've done my research. I watched, you know, we can even take it back. The House of Carters. I remember seeing that on when I was like, I used to see that shit on TV, man. Like, I'm 26 now, but I remember seeing that on TV, and like, so I was just diving through the episodes, and I like, it hit me how many siblings you actually have. And
yeah,
it's just like crazy, because like, I don't know, like I look at the House of Carters environment, and I wanted to ask, because it just seemed a little hostile, and there was like a lot of like, I'm curious, like how much of that was like TV cameras, like how much of that is just like, because like, that's a hard area to like develop and grow. Like, you were young, dude. I saw you on the TV. It's, I'm like, this is a young kid, like a pop star right now. Like, that's just like a lot going on, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, growing up in this industry and then having all the siblings and then putting us in a house, you know, there was probably an underlining like jealousy, maybe you could call it, from the other siblings.
Mm.
You know, because Nick and I were the ones that were kind of like popping in the family. So, you know, it was very hostile. You know, my brother was trying to be a parent to his kid, the rest of his.
That's what it looked like.
Kid siblings, you know, and we're all older. And we're like, Nick, what are you doing? Like, just stop. Like, you need to stop thinking that you can tell us how we've gotten this far, you know? But yeah. I think my brother's head was in the right place. I just don't think that his siblings were going to be open to listening to him. Like, you know, because we're like, we got a mom and a dad. We don't need our big brother you know, trying to be our father, but he was just trying to kind of pick up where they left off, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to quite do that. And then now he's got a family on his own, so he has his own trajectory he's going on. So I really have a lot of respect for my brother for trying it, but I was telling him that, and I was just like, you know, this is like, stop doing that, you know, because there's, you're trying to be a parent, but then you're trying to be a brother. And then you're trying to be, and then there's a little underlining conversation with brothers. So my brother and I don't think we ever had a chance to really be brothers, you know?
Damn. Because
there's always a wedge in our relationship. And that wedge was the entertainment, the stardom, you know, I guess you could say. So it's crazy because it must be hard for, you know, being the brother and then having all these sisters, and then here comes another boy.
Mm-hmm. And also doing the same thing, like a popular singer.
I just looked up. The thing is my brother's like 8 years older than me. So I looked up to what he was doing. By the time I was like 6, 7, 8, Nick was already in Backstreet Boys going. So I was like, I want to do my own thing. Like, I want to get my own stuffed animals that people are throwing on stage. And I want my brother bringing them back to me in a garbage bag in suitcases, like with a teddy bear on it that said Nick. I wanted my own teddy bear that said Aaron. So that's really what inspired me to be a musician was all of those toys he was getting. Beanie Babies was popping in the 90s, and I think that was the main thing.
I could see that, like, even watching it, like, I can see it's so funny, like, I'm the youngest, I have two older brothers too, and like the reason I started rapping was my oldest brother was a rapper, and you know, we were doing rap battles, and we were on, I don't know if you heard of rapbattles.com, you ever heard of that shit?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Fuck yeah, dude. You know, I was out on our,
are you guys on it?
Yo, I was on it heavy when I was like 13. Oh, yeah, what'd you say?
I said, I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, dude, fucking, it was hilarious. But like, I remember I looked up to my brother too. And that's the whole reason why I started getting into what I'm doing. It's like, it makes so much sense. But it's funny you saying that, because we've, you know, I run into situations like that too. Like, I'm grateful for my family, but like, there's been times when my older brothers tried to like parent me in certain things too. And there is this weird line. And I could see, like, even like watching Nick on that, like, it was another time though. You know, it was a fucking, I don't know how long ago that was. It was like a decade ago probably, right? But even seeing him, like you're saying, like, you think his heart was in the right place. Like, I saw him like yelling at you. He was like, I'm your brother. I'm not like, I'm not your dad. But like, he was trying to like, be this like figure. And just bring, he always mentioned he was trying to like bring the family together. And so I agree. Like, it always seemed like he was trying to, you know, do the right thing. But that must've been a fucking interesting task.
It must've been hard for him because, you know, our parents divorced, and when our parents divorced, that really took a toll on everybody in the family. You know, everybody was really hit hard. And I don't think Nick was hit as hard because he was always away the majority of the time. So, you know, I think, like I said, he was in the right place, but it was the divorce really, it really hurt, like, the whole family, you know?
It really hurt. And it was so public, too. Like, everything you guys did was fucking, it was on my TV. So how could you have any privacy to figure out who you really are or how you're going to deal with your emotions?
Yeah, you really didn't have that chance, because even after the divorce, it was my mom and dad versus each other. And it was all in the public. Like, you can look up Carter versus Carter. Like, what? It's called Carter versus Carter. Like, what the hell?
On, like, that's my family.
And then just, it's crazy because I look at it now and I'm just like, I wonder if we would have done stuff differently. You know? I wonder if we knew how much this industry impacted us in a negative manner, if we would have been as open to everybody as we were, you know, or if we would have, you know, concealed more things.
So. Yeah. I think now you're like, it's funny, like, as you get older, like, even as I get older, I think about that stuff too in my life, like shit that I've done back in the day. And I'm like, I just wonder how I would go about it now. And I mean, for you though, you seem like you're like, social media is so interesting. I actually wanted to ask you about this too, because like, now I'm starting to, like, my platform's getting a little bigger and like, I got more fans and shit. And I've noticed, like, with that comes a lot of fucking haters. And it's so, I saw you post this shit and I literally tell my buddy the other day, I was like, bro, every single person that hates on me or tells me some shit in my DMs or comments, it's an account which has a picture that's not of them. And it's literally a fucking, it's not even a real person. They literally make the account to shit on me and hate on me. And I go to, and I saw you post that and I related to it. I was like, bro, like he 100% gets this. And I go to your comments. And even when I posted like, hey, I have a podcast, Aaron Carter, like shoot some questions. Do you know how many fucking people like messaged me to tell, like to hate on you, like through this situation? And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I know. It's, you know, the world today in the notoriety and industry and fame, a lot of it can be faked. Yeah, a lot of it can be faked. A lot of those likes, I mean, there's people that buy likes and buy followers. But when you buy a like and buy a follower and buy comments, you're not necessarily buying fake people. You're buying their alter egos, you know? You're buying something that's not an identity. I've never done that. That's why I only have like 513,000 followers. But they're all real. You know,
I mean,
and
you can see through your engagement too. I mean, you go on Instagram Live and it's fucking...
Yeah, no, I mean, I go on there and I just block.
Really? You block them?
I block everybody. If someone goes on your page and they have something negative to say without even knowing, just by watching things and putting it to, like, first of all, if you have a heart, you wouldn't do as much hate as you would, because you would be able to sympathize with, okay, this guy's lost his dad, you know, his mom is, you know, the manager, his sister, you know, all the fame and fortune and all this stuff. And here I am still trying to figure out a way where this is, you know, normal and it's right. And it's just really difficult, you know, it's hard because you see that stuff and I'm just like, okay, well, in person, none of this would ever be said to my face.
Mm.
I would ever say that to my face. They'll lie to your face if they meet you in person. So I think it's interesting how, you know, I'm shedding more light onto the moderating world, because that's what it is. The internet moderators, and they're run and filtered through Discord and through encrypted servers and all this kind of stuff. And it's you would be surprised, because it just started happening all of a sudden with me, right? That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. That is a plot. That is a scheme. That is, they are paid organizations. They literally are. Like, your competition, my competition, whoever they are out there, that's why these people are there.
No shit. You think so?
Because my jealousy of competition out there is getting these internet moderators to go and create a false narrative of you. And then the people who just look at the surface believe.
I never thought about it like that. And it's interesting you say that, because people say that to me all the time. Like, people will DM me a story. So I do artist coaching and like help, you know, independent artists grow their Spotify's account. And so many people will message me, be like, yo, this is a scam. It's so funny. People will be like, it's a scam. It's free. I just started charging for it like the last 2 months. And I'm like, how is this a scam? You can download it for free. And if you want coaching, I charge for that. But you can download a whole growth guide packet, which I have, which is for free. I'm not making any money off of it for the longest time. And so I'm thinking, like, now that you're saying that, I'm like, what if I had like a competitor that was like doing some bullshit that you're talking about?
You probably do. And it's probably somebody like the closest to you, somebody you would never expect. So
that's so whack.
You're seeing that. That's what's going on. And I'm known for unveiling shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I am unveiling this to the public as much as I can. Now, whether they believe it or not, I don't know. That's up to them. But people are so, like, stupid.
Sheep, man. They're so, yeah.
Fucking idiots, you know? And they just will believe something. It's like they'll believe something more negative than they will positive. You can have someone, Aaron, you're going to do great on this fight. Knock him out, bro. And then somebody else, dude, aren't you like, you know, isn't he like 4 feet taller than you? And it's just like, okay. Oh, I didn't realize I was 2'11". Like, okay. You know what I mean? I'm going to make you feel stupid. And if they keep coming back at me, then it's either you realize that some of these people have some mental issues that they're dealing with. So, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, but I just wish that they would seek the proper help instead of, you know, going to somebody that they don't have any clue or any idea who they are and trying to hurt them and bring them down. So there's a little juxtaposition between the two, but there is competition moderators out there now. So they will, you will have your, there'll be somebody else that's doing a podcast that's sending people your way to shut you down. And it's a cancel culture. That's what
crazy.
It is.
Crazy.
That's world. It's cancel culture.
And it's sad, man. And I've seen, like, obviously, like, you've been in the news at, like, a lot of public press your entire life, but even in like the past couple of years, I feel like, is Aaron Carter uncancelable though? Because I feel like people have tried over and over, but my man's still here doing it big. That's right.
Yep. You know, a year ago, like, I had all these restraining orders on me for my family.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Guns away. But now I got my guns back. I got my Second Amendment back. They didn't get a permanent restraining order. Okay, the judges wouldn't allow them. Like, come on, they making up lies and weird stuff that, like, I want to go harm my sister-in-law. Good job. Hope that took the light off of you for what was called out on you. So it is what it is, you know. And there, it's crazy because I have a twin sister and an older brother that I don't want anything to do with. I want nothing to do with them. Because they are a part of the cancel culture.
Do you think low-key, like, maybe they're the ones that are, like, setting that up, like, against you? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I absolutely feel that way. Absolutely. I mean, I almost basically have all the proof to show it, and I've shown it, and the public can see. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes. I'm not a fake dude. So all those people out there watching me, expecting me to be fake and say what you want me and me say what you want to hear, I am not that fucking guy. I could give two fucking shits. I could give a fuck about a Logan Paul podcast. I could give a fuck about a fucking super producer. I could give a fuck about that. I'm actually more about, you know, the underdogs. I believe in the underdogs because I am an underdog. I'm always an underdog. And you know what? If they always put us in the position to be an underdog, we're always going to exceed their expectations. Like, literally.
Because, yeah.
That's what we do. I mean, I'm a fire sign. So if you put fire on fire, bro, it's just going to make a bigger fire. And that's all. So keep throwing your fire at me. I'm a fire sign. I like the fire. I have flames going up my neck. They're going up my neck and all over my face. I do not feel pain. Pain to me is just a receptor in your brain. And these people can, it's awesome because unbeknownst to them, I've been doing a documentary this whole time. It's called The Black Web. And it's me shedding light
on
what our industry is today and how it's so fake and fucking phony. And these streams are fucking, you know, you can see somebody, those numbers are the truth. Like those Spotify numbers and the radio, those are the truth. And then there's this other superficial, artificial world that I just can't accept, man. I won't accept it. I won't accept it. And I know for a fact that my competition and people out there who are in fear of me, they hired these people. It's stupid and it's sick and it sucks how it is. But my advice to anybody else out there who's coming in this industry today, you didn't come in it when I did. And when I came into it, we could give a fuck about internet. We could give a fuck about it. It didn't even fucking exist. Apple still had the old school logo on, you know, in black and white, you know, and it wasn't even a thing. There was PCs were popping more, you know?
Yeah.
I could give a shit about the internet, what they have to say. But if they start doing it in bigger, 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 bigger ways, I'm going to shed light onto it and I'm going to call them out.
So, keeping it G, man. No.
They've been called out. They've been called out and I've shed a lot of light on it. Like, for instance, I put that stuff up there and now you can see for yourself. You're like, oh, shit, this happens to me. Like, yeah, it does. It straight up does, bro.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on for sure is because you talk about the underdog too. Like, bro, it says make it happen on my arm right here. MIH Universal stands for Make It Happen Universal. So the whole, my whole story is like kind of like an underdog story. And like 100%, man, like your whole, even if you look at your whole career path, it was an underdog story. And even now you're still fighting against people. And that's another reason I wanted you on here today. My bro was like, yo, Aaron Carter's having a boxing match against Lamar Odom. And I was like, how many people are going to consider him the underdog in this shit? You know what I mean? And so like, that's another reason I feel like it was like perfect to kind of have you on today. Cause I want a little more respect to be tossed your way. You know, I wanted you to have like a, you know, another place to voice your, a voice your side of the story on it and everything. Cause I know that's what I'm curious about, man. Cause it gets to me sometimes having people like talk shit on me all the time or like.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It gets to me too, but you got to realize, like I said, and even from, bro, go back so far, like go back in the 1920s when bluegrass, when we were just talking about bluegrass, bro, it wasn't, there was no on the wire. There wasn't even phones really, you know? So it was all kind of just, you know, a word of mouth or, hey, let's listen to this, you know, like together in our room. And then, you know, it wasn't, now it's like the internet. Okay. The internet is the music industry. No, it's not. It desperately wants to be. And it, these people who will never be, you know, mature enough and conduct themselves the way you do in a podcast or what I do. And, you know, there's people that will never be able to be the way we are. Mm-hmm. So it's like they want to put you down for that because they, it's insecurities. It's, you see that stuff and you're seeing people's insecurities. You're seeing their pain. You're seeing their jealousy. And you're just seeing pure hate, man. And yeah. that's what it is. And I just keep thinking to myself, I'm like, it doesn't really matter to me, like what the internet has to say, because I didn't go to jail. I didn't do anything crazy. I got my guns back. I got my license back. I got AR-15s in the closet and Churchill 12 gauge shotguns and 9mm and 45s and 44 mags. I love them.
You're fucking loaded up over there.
Fuck yeah, I am. Absolutely. This is the last house you ever want to come to. Trust me. So nobody ever wants to come in here and do something funky. So trust me when it's like. So, and bro, when my guns were taken away from me, I got a protection dog, a canine, a literally a $17,000 German Shepherd that was trained to just attack. So I was like, and I had to do that because, bro, I mean, people are nuts. People are crazy. They think just, you know, come up on you and pull up on you and do something. You never really know. So good thing I had my father, who was a military policeman and taught me how, you know, he was all my family on my dad's side was in every war. So,
wow.
You know, I mean,
runs in the blood.
I just, oh, like, okay, this is kind of just like a social media type of war. It's like, you know, it's social media warfare.
Well, you also know? Got people popping up. I've seen people pop up on your IG, like stalking your house. And I've seen like just from like, just following you on Instagram. It's like, you never know who the fuck's outside like your window at night or some shit. And like, you're always like filming. It's like, people are really pulling up on you like that, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's terrifying, man.
I'm the chillest dude ever, man. But I mean, I will voice my opinion and I will tell the truth. And if you don't like the truth, you want to try to silence me with your fucking fake, your fuckery and your fake lies or whatever it is, it's not going to work. I'm going to keep going and going and going and going and going and going. I still am going right now. Ain't nobody stop me. All right. I said what I needed to say. Did I get a cease and desist or a defamation lawsuit? No, I didn't. You know why? Because I was telling the truth. Now, if I was lying, I would have been sued, the house taken away from me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I have my own flesh and blood. They have proven time and time again that they are not real family. And I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with the Scientologist people and crazy ass motherfuckers and then the MK Ultra and the Cabal and all these weird this. It's just like, I don't need that, man. I ain't got no time for that shit. And I'm going to keep going regardless. And it's kind of funny because in the last like year and a half, 2 years, financially, I'm triple where I was. My house is double the size. I have four cars in my driveway, you know, like, and I'm not saying like this is like old narcissistic stuff, but I went from 3 years ago living in a flat in Hollywood Boulevard and paying $3,000 a month for rent to now, you know, I own my second home and it's, you know, it's 5,000 square foot house, bro, with like too many bedrooms. We shift bedrooms in this house. Like it's weird, but that is something for me that's like, okay, well, did it work? Did your cancel culture work? Did your moderators work? No, you guys are just helping somebody like me because I'm not fucking affected by you. I take what you're doing and I turn your negative into a positive because that's always what I've done. So I just take negatives and turn them into positives. It's just like a battery. You can't have a battery without a negative and a positive on it. Mm. You can't understand love unless you understand hate.
Interesting way to look at it. Yin and yang right there. What now you're like, you're in a better spot now. And it's like, what are you into that? I mean, like, cause like the new music, like the last thing I saw that's dropped was like your Kid Carter, like your production single looked like, but like, what are you working on next, man? Like what's going down? Like how are we bringing in the bread right now?
Bro, I have my clothing line, my love collection. So it doesn't say Aaron Carter at all. It says smart. Love. That makes it a clothing line, not a merchandise. You know, it's not merch with my face on it. You know, a wide range type of thing, you know? And, I have my OnlyFans, which I do incredibly well on.
I didn't know you had an Only. I didn't know you had an OnlyFans.
Bro, I
what, snap. What kind of content are you dropping on there?
I mean, whatever they want, bro. Like whatever. I mean, not too far, but like, it's good enough. It's good enough to where I'm bringing in like 50, 60 grand a month on OnlyFans.
Wow. People are making the bag on OnlyFans, huh?
I mean, some people are, some people aren't. It depends on how real you are and what you're willing to, what you're willing to give and what you, you know, but I mean, I have the best people on my OnlyFans. They're so supportive. These people are amazing. And I just want to tell all those people that I do love you guys. It's a small group of people, but the support I get and they lift me up and make me feel better. It's, you know, make me feel good about myself. These are awesome people. And the fact that they're subscribing I give so much thanks to those people who subscribe to all that stuff. And I got the Lamar fight going on, me and Lamar. And then I'm working on my album as we speak. I mean, I've already got one in the pipeline for a single.
Fine. And
it's kind of like urban. It's kind of like urban trap. I mean, let me see if I can actually send this over to you. And I'll give you the first sneak. I'll let you have the first sneak peek of it.
Damn, I got the sneak peek of the new fucking record, huh?
Yes, I'm gonna send it to you. No one else is gonna have this.
Don't worry, I keep shit. Shit's pretty tied up over here, real secure.
So, let me just get that.
So, are you working on music every day? Who did the beat?
I could go back out. I got so much to say. You let that go right. So I sent you the MP3. So welcome, bro, to premiere that.
Oh, you know we're rocking. We got it on lock, man. You know we're rocking now.
Oh, you hear it? Like there's a maturity, there's an honesty, and there's a relativity to who I am in that track. You know, from the country type, from the, you know, that bluesy.
You sound like a Florida guy in that track, man.
I sound like exactly. I mean, well, my buddy, the Winter Havens. He's an incredible songwriter, and he's the one who wrote that with, and we're going to do the whole album together. So it's just me and my buddy. So
fire. And are you completely like independent?
I am independent. Yes, I am independent.
No shit, man. No shit. Collecting the whole bag for yourself. I love that.
Yep. I mean, the Love album was amazing. Sony was great. For the most part, they're a little shiesty sometimes.
Aren't they always?
Bro, that's the thing. See, I have had some of the most powerful and biggest companies try to take me out. Can't.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, you probably, I mean.
And I called them out for their shit, bro.
I heard you talking about, you know, on like podcasts and talking about Sony and like even back in the day, like, money wise, like someone owed, like Sony owes you $2 million or some shit like that. And it's just, that's just gnarly, man.
You know what? It'll come back to me tenfold as long as I just, you know, I'm a real big believer in karma, but not controlled karma.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Are you like a spiritual person? Like you like the seven spiritual laws type of guy?
I believe in God. I believe in God, and I pray every night, and the way I always start my prayers off is, dear God, please forgive me for I have sinned, and then I always ask Him to bless my family members, even if I don't like them, even if I don't talk to them, you know, and
hey, kind of you.
That's kind of it, you know, I'm not really like a crazy, I'm not really into super spiritual stuff,
yeah.
But I am a big believer in God, and God has gotten me this far, so definitely.
I love that. And recently,
tell me the seven. Can you tell me what those are?
Yeah, that's what he's gonna like tell you. That's exactly what I was gonna do because it helped me a lot this year. There's a book. It's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and it's like I don't know. You're probably an audio guy because you're a musician, right? I just put it on at the gym, and it's like an hour just to get through the book on Audible, and the things this guy talks about is just great. Like exactly what you're talking about. He talks about the law of karma. And basically the consensus of it is that if you live by these seven laws, your life will be at peace. And it'll be a lot better. Oh, fuck. I can't hear you. Did something happen? Jumped off on you. Do you still hear me? Gotcha.
You hear me now?
Yep, hear you now. But so basically, were you able to hear what I was saying?
Yes, I was. I think I said, am I inadvertently doing those and not even knowing?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about right there, that's like the law of giving and receiving, right? You're like giving blessings and asking God to, you know, kind of look over your family members. And even though you don't like them, like, you know, what you said was, hey, I know that this situation might have sucked with this label or whatever it is, but it's going to come back to me tenfold anyways. That's the law of giving and receiving, the law of karma as well. Like, you know, if you give good energy, like if I sit here and I say, and I smile at you, like you're going to smile back at me.
Yes, you probably
just practice that in your life just from having, you know, so many experiences in your life. But it's definitely a cool read. It's definitely cool to check out and just like, you could probably crush it in literally in an hour. So I recommend it. Do you meditate?
No, I don't. I don't meditate. Maybe I do. Yeah, maybe my meditation though is different than others. My meditation is when I'm producing music. Mm. So when I'm producing music and creating tracks and doing that, that's my meditation, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I make thousands of tracks, but the last album only had like 15 of, you know, of my production on it. And it was with the co-producer. I didn't do it all by myself.
Yeah. So. Your beats are fire too, man. I like them a lot. I don't know if you've heard the type of shit that I do. The shit I do is like more like upbeat, like hip hop. I'll send you some shit that I do. But I love your direction's really, it's a lot different. You use certain instruments that I feel like a lot of people aren't using in their songs.
I mean, listen to the last record I just played you. You're not hearing like a country guitar with trap.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So that's what I was saying. Like that song is so near and dear to me because that was also written about my family. Like, you know,
I wasn't able to hear the lyrics too clear. I'm going to play it out. When are you planning on, that's the number one question I got, man, was when's the new music dropping? That's what your fans want to hear, man.
Bro, I'm always a surprise. That's how it was when I released Fool's Gold. No one thought it was real, but then I had 1 million streams in like 10 minutes. And
damn,
it was insane.
Was it really that? It was 1 million in 10 minutes?
Yeah, and I made the top 50 Spotify viral charts.
And I gotta stop sleeping, man.
And all the A&R people, that's what they watch. That's what they look at. They look at the who's independent and who's doing, you know, who pretty much has something done for them. And I'm that kind of artist. I'm the kind of guy that's like, you know, when a label is involved with me, they already have 2 or 3 albums in the books as soon as they sign me, you know? So,
yeah.
So many songs. But timing is everything for me and it being real, you know? I gotta be real. I gotta be able to relate to what I'm putting out there or else I can't do it.
Yeah. And it's not even like, you're in the position you're talking about that you're in right now, like, you're not in a label situation. So you don't have like a deadline. And you also, it's not a money grab, right? You're talking 60 racks a month off some shit. It's like, I'm going to make music when it feels right. And when it's good and when it's good enough to release, like that's how I feel about like my new shit that I got. Cause like, I'm finally in a situation where I'm chilling too. And like, you don't have to worry about a deadline or anything. Dude, when you were like coming up, like when you were a kid, I'm just interested. Were there like deadlines set by the labels? Did they kind of tell you like,
oh yes.
It was like a 9-to-5 type of deal? Did you like show up? Yes,
at the studio? It was.
What it was like?
It was terrible. Recording the album, Aaron's Party, was so crazy. I mean, it was 2 songs a day that we were recording and it just.
No shot.
Yes, it was 9-to-5. I was 12, 13 years old, not stopping working. No fun, really. Just in a studio, Battery Studios in New York City with Jive Records, and that was my life. It was just go to New York City, get in a limo, and go to the studio. I never really got to.
When you have like social time, like when you hanging out with like friends that back then and shit, like what do you got a girlfriend? Like we know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was difficult, bro. It was difficult having any friends because they can never really, like, I don't know if they looked at it this way, maybe, I don't know, but they could never really, like, do what I did. And while they were probably looking at me like they wanted my life, I was looking at them like I wanted theirs.
No shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy to hear because, I mean, that's just, it's crazy hearing that from you. Because that's a life people would be like, oh, number one thing, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, oh, I want to be famous. Like, I bet there's so many kids that wanted to be you. Like I guarantee, like when I was growing up, like I said, like I'm 26 now, I guarantee you could ask one of my classmates at the time, like back in when you were coming up, like young as hell, like who do you want to be? Oh, I want to be like Aaron Carter one day. You know what I mean?
You know, and I love that. I love that I have a lot of, you know, guy supporters, dude supporters, and it's gone up exponentially in the last couple of years. And I'm like, oh wow, you know, I didn't realize how much of an impact, you know, I made on these guys' lives, you know, these kids that were my age or maybe a little younger, maybe a little older.
You were also rapping low key. Like that's the thing I feel like people don't know. It's like, you weren't like a singy fucking like pop guy all the time. Like if you listen to your old shit, like which I was, it was like, you were rapping the whole time pretty much. And you could sing too.
Definitely. I mean, I remember when I did Go Jimmy Jimmy, that was one of the fastest rap songs I ever did. And I was listening to like Twista and stuff back then. And like, it was cool. I'm glad that I got to do that. But as I was like rapping and doing all that kind of stuff, I wanted to be more of a singer.
No shit.
I wanted to be respected and my voice to be heard, bro, so bad. And it took me a long time to figure out how to sing.
Yeah. So you naturally weren't good at singing?
I mean, I could hit any high note that, you know, there was, but like I was a little kid, like I guess you could say I had something going on, but I guess I didn't look at it like that. Mm. I never saw myself in that kind of light. I saw myself as, okay, if I want to aspire to be something, so I'm a singer, I'm doing this, okay, and now, but I'm a rapper, okay, how do I get people to know me as a singer?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I took the Broadway journey that I did with the Fantastics. It's because low key, that was like the best vocal training I've ever had in my life for like 2.5 years, nonstop.
Makes sense.
That, I mean, that was really amazing. Yeah,
that makes sense. I want to be sure to dive in. I know we're chatting about the music, but I want to talk about I mean, your match is coming up, right? Like, I want to start talking about the boxing a little bit. like how's training going? Like, what's it looking like? How, like, what are you doing?
I'm just focusing right now on cardio and quitting cigarettes and gaining some weight. That's pretty much all I'm focusing on right now. Do those things first, and you know, just running my ass off and.
Yeah. How much are you, have you trained for like, you said, I saw on like a podcast, you said like you did like martial arts back in the day or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So this is nothing new to you, right? Like you've done this route?
No, I did a really awesome martial art, which is Tai Chi, which is the art of taking somebody's movements and making it work against them. So if someone like throws a punch, taking their punch, and like, it's all about counter strikes. Yeah. So, you know, that's perfect for this match. Because yeah, this big ass dude throwing this, but you know, leave himself exposed for me to get him right there. So, you know, I'm gonna keep knocking out his lungs and knocking out his stomach, you know.
Nah, that's a fire point. You know, you mentioned Logan Paul earlier. I'm thinking, I remember you like in the comments when the celebrity boxing was really, really coming out, you were like, yo, fuck it. Like I'll take on Logan Paul. is that ever gonna happen? Like what are your thoughts on that?
I have no idea. You know what? I like Logan though. I like Logan a lot, man. He's, I didn't really know much about him, you know, but as a person, he's very real. He what he portrays like on social media, that he's the same dude. So, and he's always been super cool with me. And, you know, I don't know, man, if he wants to meet me in the ring, come on. So, If I knock out Lamar Odom,
do you think you're gonna knock out Lamar Odom?
Don't be a pussy, Logan, and see meet me there.
Do you think you're gonna knock him out?
I'm gonna do my best. Yeah, absolutely. I'll knock it out of his ass. That's for sure.
I think me and the boys are. It's in Atlanta City, New Jersey, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm out in Boston. Me and the boys were like, yo, let's go send that down and go watch the fight. Do you guys have people there? Like, can you go? Yeah.
I'm going to ask. Everyone's been curious about that. So I think we're waiting, you know, for the fight to be in June 12th mm-hmm. for safety reasons, but to open up a little bit more. So, but I mean, I would, bro, come regardless if they're not, I'll make sure you are there. So
Bet. Thanks, man. We'll take the job, man. Cause I want to see it, man. I want to see it. And also it's going to be like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I went to Logan's fight versus KSI at the Staples Center. And I think that boxing coming into like the influencer community is cool. And it's interesting. Like we haven't had a musician really pop out that start box people. So you're kind of like the first one of that too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, tell me, is there any other musicians that are boxing yet?
I can't think of anybody.
Underdog,
baby. No, just me.
Yeah. Just you. I mean, there's a lot of professional athletes and shit that are doing it, but dude, fucking fire, man. I know it's been like an hour or so. Any thoughts you want to, concluding thoughts you want to just like shout out to the fans out there. Let them know, you know, the music is coming, but any concluding thoughts you want to give to everybody?
You know what? I just, to conclude this, I just want to say that to you, bro. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being real. And, it's definitely pleasantly surprising, you know, and the underdogs, you got to watch out for us, you know, like you definitely got to watch out for us. I might always be in an underdog position, but that's okay. And another conclusion to this is do not think that the internet makes or breaks you, because it doesn't. It's the numbers. It's the, how many times are people actually listening to your songs and what you're doing versus just giving you a like and a comment on Instagram that amounts to nothing.
Facts. I tweeted something the other day. I said, if you got more follow, if you're like have more followers than you do money, you got it backwards. Cause there's hella people that are like, oh man, I got these likes, I got these comments. And it's like, but like, where's your business at?
Yeah, I know. No, I see that all the time. It's crazy. I see out in Hollywood and all that stuff. I see that, but that's why I've gotten away from that. I live 80 miles away from Hollywood, and you know,
don't be giving out any hints where you live, bro. There's too many people.
I'm going to be moving to Colorado soon anyway. So like,
no shit.
I'm going to get, for my fiance and I want to settle down. And so
that's the tattoo, right? I haven't seen that. Yeah, shit.
That's my boo right here.
That's legit as fuck, man. You like just recently you got the face tap, and now it's like you're adding on to that face.
Yeah, well, this is going bye bye.
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting rid of it.
You don't like it anymore?
Yeah, no, just because it served its purpose. Now it's done. There was a reason for this. I did this for a reason. I did this to let people know, like, I'm not the kind of dude you want to fuck with. Like, I just support me and lift me up. And it's crazy, bro. Our world is in a pandemonium and in, you know, lockdown. And I've never seen more hate in my life.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fucking nuts. I've never seen more hate in my life than what I'm seeing right now. Mm. I'm talking about all of my years, you know, bundled in 2 years. It's like, that's what it's become. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's not for no reason. And just remember, it's simple math. I say it to everyone all the time. Idiots have patterns. Okay. These people are idiots. They have patterns. They're doing the same thing. They're going to do something. And it's crazy because their highlight sometimes for these people's lives is they get blocked by someone.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. They want to taunt you and tease you and prod you and get you to say something and do something you don't mean. Like, I just look at it like, you know what? Such a learning curve the last couple of years. I've learned so much and learning how to just protect myself, you know?
Well, you've been on like the internet, not your whole life, but like in just in the public eye so much. And even just having this conversation with you, and I've, you know, met you in person, and it's just interesting. I could go on YouTube right now and just look up Aaron Carter interviews, right? From the past couple of years or so. And I feel like I'm talking to a completely different person from the fucking bullshit clickbait stuff that I see that have all the views, right? But like, I'm talking to a different person right now. And so like, you're talking about growth and everything. And I just want to let you know, like, I can definitely see evidence of that. For sure.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm not a perfect human being. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life too. And, you know, said things in my life that I didn't mean, and, you know, hurt people along the way. And to those people who are hurt, Some of you, I'm really sorry, you know, and then some of you, you get what you deserve. So it is what it is, you know?
It is what it is. No, I feel that. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you tune in. When's the fight date exactly?
June 12th. So if anything changes, I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know.
June 12th, as of now, everybody tuning in right now. Aaron's got a new single. He doesn't know when it's dropping. It's going to be a surprise. So make sure you guys are looking out for that. I want to say thank you for hopping on, taking the time to come on here, bro. It means a lot to me. And I think it's going to be I think the story was told well. I think this was a good one. How do you feel?
I feel like this is just like a conversation, you know, and that's you know, with interviews. When I started as a little kid, that was something I didn't want to be. I didn't want to hear the same questions over and over again.
Yeah.
And, but you know, you might be asking some of the same questions that I was asked a couple of years ago, but my response is much different now. And I have a family of my own that I want to build. And we want to have kids and we want to have a family, get married and settle down. And that's what I'm aiming for. So all I ask is for everyone out there that maybe doesn't like me watching this to see something that you didn't, you know, expect. Give me that chance, you know, give me that. I deserve that chance. I've lost all of my family due to this industry and due to putting smiles on your faces. You know, that's why I go out and I perform, is to make people happy and put a smile on their face. So just remember when, you know, while I was going through all of that stuff, there was a lot of pain that I was enduring. And now it's time to right the wrongs in my past and transcend from the person I was even 2 years ago. So I have a lot of growth to make. I'm glad that you've seen the growth that I have been working on. For 2 years, I mean, I've been seeing a psychiatrist, one guy for like over a year, and he is, you know, he's one of the main reasons why I've gotten my act together, you know. So, and normaled out and leveled out, you know. So, but you just can't let the world get to you like you saw it get to me, you know, because like, it really got to me, and I was finding myself running into like roadblocks. Everybody, what the fuck, why, what's going on here? But then I started to realize, oh shit, that problem is me.
Do you ever look back at like, I look back at old videos of me doing shit and I'm like, I like cringe at some shit that I like did like back in like college or whatever, just even in music too, like, you know, songs. But do you ever look back, because your stuff's been so public, and just like, that's it, you look back and go, that's a different person?
Yeah, I can say that from 2 years ago. I'm a completely different person than I was 2 years ago. And I've really just wanted to, like I said, you know, right my wrongs, take responsibility for my wrongs, and just show humility, you know? And honestly, that's something I don't feel like we get, man. From people who are singers and actors, they're all fake and phony and so afraid to be vulnerable with you and show what's going on. And I'm just not that way, you know? Mm-hmm. I would rather the whole world know my truth and shun me for it than me to go out there telling a lie and be respected for that lie.
It's a great saying.
You know?
There's a saying, something like that, right? I'd rather be loved for who I am than hated for what I'm not.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I would 100%. I would rather be loved for who I am than who I'm not. Yeah, that's a...
And I mean, you've seen it probably time and time. I mean, like, there's so many people out there who are, you know, we were talking about the industry being faked and, you know, automated. I mean, like, I forgot to get your take, but I'm interested in your take on, like, you know, you got like people saying 6ix9ine's buying him millions and millions of streams with his first like hour, like people saying people are like botting a bunch of shit. Like, eventually when, and I'm not saying it is, that's what it's, that's a story. Eventually, if you come up and become popular for something that is fake, it's going to come back to you full circle. It's the same reason why I'm doing my growth guide and my coaching program, is to teach people. It's like, hey, this is going to take longer because we're not going to cheat. And like, it's going to take longer to get a million streams, but like, that's going to be a million actual streams. And then you can sell the merch to actual people. Cause when you buy a million streams and just have bots, like, no one's going to come to the shows.
Right. No, absolutely. I'm not really sure about 6ix9ine. I don't know. It's debatable, you know, with Daniel.
You think so?
It's debatable. Yeah, it's debatable. I've looked at the numbers seen it, but the hype and the attention that he gets, it's really there. I think the numbers are really there for him.
I do too.
I honestly think the numbers are really there for him. I don't think that it's nearly impossible to buy streams. So if anyone else out there understands that, and understands that it's 75 streams to one mechanical download. Mm. So every 75 people that listen to your song, that's only one. It's only considered one download.
Do you know why that is? Is that what's considered a record sold as well? Like, do you know the ratio there? Because when we're talking about,
that's what it is. It's 75 streams to one record sold.
Yeah, man. So, and you got 75 million sold. When we say sold, I want everybody to understand this because a lot of people aren't musicians. That's not 79 million streams. It's fucking times that by whatever the rate is, you know?
Talk about the times when it was an experience and an adventure to go to the store.
An album.
Go to the store. Go to the album. See what you like. It's gone, bro. You know? What
a crazy time, man. Yeah, right? I used to go to FYE, bro. And your face was in FYE, man. Like, you were in there.
I mean, and now you're passing them things and they're closed. And you're just like, oh, man. So it's definitely... We definitely have some growing still to do, but if anything, I would say that the bots and the memes and they're just hurting our industry. They're just taking the experience. They're taking the experience away from actual listeners and people who, you know, grew up. Like I said, it was an experience, man. You would go to the FYE and go to this. It was an experience, even for me. I remember being 12, going there and buying Outkast, you know? So, and Twista, and, Nelly and stuff like that. That's what I was listening to. So,
what was it like when you were dropping, an album, release thing? What was that for you?
That was a whole big campaign, man. It was crazy.
That sounds exhausting. You were talking about mall signings. We went over briefly, but you were it was thousands of people. And it was, love you, thanks, Aaron, boom, 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 boom. And then, different city? So it's a tour, you would tour the album signings? Is that kind of how it would work?
Absolutely. I did album tour.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, and that was, the promotional campaigns, kind of. How politics do. Even still to this day.
Yeah.
Don't do that with the music anymore. And that was something that we would do. That would be, the mall signings would be the promotion and the campaign, you know.
You ever have any crazy?
Much more difficult than what people get today, where they're living room singers.
Yeah,
literally. You know, house singers. That's what they're doing now. And Billy is a perfect example. I mean, it's just kind of just did their own thing, probably on their couch in their living room.
And it makes millions of dollars.
It makes a shit ton of money. And happens to be the right niche at the right time with the right music. And, I just think it's getting a little bit more difficult. Nobody really listens to radio anymore, bro. Radio's dying. All these programming directors are scrambling to figure out what they're going to do.
What do you think is going to happen next? Where should people pivot, right? Artists that are listening to this, what do you have for advice on where we should pivot to?
Where it should pivot to...
I think that people should focus more on building up your catalog online and building up a platform and a brand for who you are. And that's biasly me speaking because that's entirely what I try to do.
You're 100% right. And I know you have your the workshops, right? That you say
having a brand and having a message and focusing on stuff like that. Cause I think a lot of people are focusing on there are people that don't even play a show. When we could play shows, I've never played a show. I know artists that are making $100,000 a month and they never even performed yet because they got to pop in Spotify.
Yeah. See, that's crazy to me. I didn't see any of the money from the Spotify numbers. I did. Sony what? And all of that money. They basically robbed me blind.
Not still, so, right? I mean, you're still getting what's going on still?
Nothing for that stuff. Nothing. And there's... so much money that's been made. I'm talking about a good $10-15 million was made off of Aaron Carter streams in the last 2 years.
I mean, I mean, I fucking live off of my streams, and I can look at your numbers and I know that's fucking crazy. That's robbery, because
it is.
Those are six figure salaries, maybe triple. That is just like, so does that still just go to the record? That's why I don't want to fucking sign shit, man. Does that still go to the record label completely?
The record labels are pretty much powerless at this point. I mean, they really can't, because look, people can come out and release stuff on their own, man. And it's been time and time again that people don't want to deal with record labels, and this is why. And record labels will never get never change that, you know, that opinion that we have about them unless they change the way they do business, man. So I think they're just trying to, they know, the record labels know that they're pretty much all going to be non-existing in, you know, a good 3 to 5 years. So they probably just trying to get all they can out of the artists that they can right now. So
facts. I mean, I think
watch out, because I was like, man, you know, I'm gonna come back, and I got that cosign, you know, from the major record label. That's fire. Record, you know, and that's pretty much, and the radio time and to meet the programming directors and go and be on radio and Sirius, you know, XM and all this stuff. That's really what I took from this whole experience, was a Rolodex of relationships that I created for myself. You know,
when you signed, though, were they able to, this is an interesting point, when you signed, were you able to get your songs pushed to new Music Friday or bigger playlists that essentially they, people say are label controlled?
Those are label controlled. Yeah, I know for a fact, 100%. I swear to God, I'm my dead father.
You know, I got a couple artists that we always talk about getting on that shit, and I always say that I'm bro, the only people that are in my fucking realm of artists at my level that are hopping on those things I was just talking. Yeah, I was talking to him last week. He just signed a deal. Oh, all of a sudden his song's on New Music Friday randomly?
No, it's a Ponzi scheme almost.
They lose all the money to the song.
Yeah, but they're paying these people. This is how Spotify and these big CEOs and that have the Spotify, whatever it is, Tidal, or this is how they make the money. So they just, they'll get somebody that's a label and be like, here's $10,000, put us on New Music Friday for a week.
If you're on New Music Friday for a fucking week, how much money does that generate in streams? Probably, way more than 10 bands.
I mean, I was on every single thing because, it kind of just started rolling into that with me, though. You know, I was on New Music Friday and the Monday, whatever. I was on all of that stuff without doing that. After a while, you know,
so it started to recognize real. That's what we're talking about. I think it's the whole thing people can pull from this is kind of keep it real out there. But you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I definitely want to do this again at some point after the fight. Maybe fucking that'd be cool to have a recap. Yeah. On. But thanks for everybody for tuning in again to the Matt Corman podcast. Shout out Aaron Carter for having him on. Make sure you check out the new music. Make sure you go watch the boxing fight. I don't know if it's gonna be streaming only or whatever the hell it's gonna be, but make sure you guys stay in tune with that. Hope you guys have a great day at work. Peace.
Great.